Let's get back to what happened on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Tom Inadnet.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've been talking a lot this day about the way the government is trying to get us to pay attention to these little issues that really are ancillary. They really have nothing to do with our daily lives. They make good television, I promise you. They make good newscasts and so forth, regardless of who you listen to. If you listen to the liberal radio, if you listen to the conservative talk show host, everybody has a spin on these little distractions that our government puts in front of us to keep us from paying attention. Now, that's what we're here for. We want to get through all that stuff. Now, again, I'd like to invite you to join me in our conversation. Please call us at 888-463-6748 if you would like to put in your 2 cents. I'd love to hear from you. You know, it's funny how all this started. It came about in an insidious way. We never saw it come up. The government slowly encroaching on our freedoms, and they are. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen. It all started with a little thing that people call political correctness. Now, everybody says, okay, you got to be politically correct. You can't say this. You can't say that. You can't use N-word. You can't, you know, talk any of that. Political correctness. We have to be correct. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not political, and I'm certainly not going to be politically correct simply because, ladies and gentlemen, that is a direct assault on our First Amendment. We've already talked about an assault with the churches, but controlling speech is the first aim of government. They want to insidiously have us. Okay, we don't want to make anybody upset. We don't want to ruffle any feathers. We want to make sure that everything we say makes people smile and feel happy, happy. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't live in that kind of world. This is a tough life. We all know that. There are ups and downs. Life kicks you around. The question is, are you going to bounce back? I'm sorry if something I say hurts someone's feelings. That's just the way it is. But I'm not going to change the way I speak to accommodate someone whose ideas I don't endorse. And I'm going to tell them. I'm one of those guys standing on that soapbox, and I will preach to you all day about a topic that I feel passionately about. And I invite you to do the same. Stand up on that podium and talk about anything that's on your mind, regardless of your viewpoint. Whether other people find it agreeable or not is really not the point. The point is that you have a right to do it, and you need to exercise that right to do it. One of the things, one of the oxymorons about political correctness is that it's only correct if you're a politician. That's why it's called political correctness, ladies and gentlemen. Don't. Get up there and talk, and I promise you I will stand next to you, whether I agree with your decision, your topic or not, I will stand next to you and defend to my last breath your right to say it, because that's what the Constitution provides us. And there's a reason for that. Again, the forefathers didn't just say, hey, that sounds nice, let's throw it in there. Gee, they'll like that. And there's also a reason that it's first, because oration, the ability to move your ideas to other people, to convince people, to have honest debate, to have honest differences of opinion, that's what makes us the finest country in the world. Now, I know you hear that everywhere. That's you know, everybody says that, but it's the truth. There are places in this world, places that are technologically advanced, places that have governments that work for them, et cetera, where if you speak your mind, we're talking prison or execution. This is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. The ability to express your ideas in a free fashion is part of the guarantees. That's our fundamental right. That's what makes us the country we are. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I've been all over the world traveling, consulting, and in my IT position, and I have never seen a place I would rather live other than here. But understand, oration is more than that. Let's take the current president. And again, I'm not bashing Mr. Obama. I respect the office of him, of the president. I promise you that whether I agree with his policies or not, that is not what this program is about. It simply isn't. But let's be honest, what we did was we elected a president who had no executive experience. He really didn't. But what he did have was the ability to orate, the ability to speak powerfully with points that people wanted to hear. That's a wonderful gift. Now, I think sometimes it goes too far. It really does. But that's not my call. But anyway, using his ability to speak in public incited a government, a people's that were actually sick and tired of the stalemate in Washington. They're not going to get anything done, and if we think that we're going to change that one way or another, we're just simply not going to change that until we change the system. And I mean change the system. I mean we need to put regulations on them, not the other way around. As a matter of fact, that's what the Constitution is. Constitution is not a guarantee necessarily of our rights. It is a direct restriction on what government can do. It actually tells government, no, you can't do this. This is not your purview. And as a matter of fact, a lot of constitutional purists think that after the 10th Amendment, Everything else should be washed away. The 10th Amendment says, and I'm telling you, folks, it says that anything we didn't talk about here is a subject for the states to handle. Should be power that's given to the states. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, but you're going to have slavery and you're going to have women not voting. Do you really think that's true? Come on. No state is going to try to put slavery back in place. Nobody's going to take the vote away from women. That's just silly. And if it had never been a government, federal government issue, the states would have solved it on their own. As a matter of fact, we actually had a war. Y'all got remember Civil War, where we actually abolished slavery and we forced those who endorsed it to give it up? Well, that actually was a federal movement. But ladies and gentlemen, once that was over, it should have stopped, should have gone back to the states. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now I'm not trying to advocate any of these things that these other amendments have given us. I really don't want to go in there, but understand that there have been amendments that actually forced us to pay income tax, actually gave Congress the right to force us to pay income tax. And, you know, we can debate income tax on another show and so forth, but the truth is it's a necessary thing. Now, sometimes it's too high, too low. People can argue back and forth, and we'll cover that in another show, I'm sure. But for the moment, that's actually one of the things that was supposed to be left up to the states. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have to remember that the more you feed a dog, the bigger it gets, the more in control it is. Washington is exactly that way. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know how many jobs Washington has added while the private sector has actually lost jobs? I mean, the Affordable Health Care Act, and we're going to debate that another day, too, I promise you, simply because if it stands up, if it lasts long enough for us to have a debate about it, it is a fundamental, in many ways, fundamental violation of the Constitution. And what's actually the violation to me, not that it violates the Bill of Rights or that, what gives me the most errors is a 2,400-page document that nobody read. They passed it in the blue of night. You know, let's rush this through. Well, what's in it? I don't know. Let's pass it and we'll find out. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's patently ridiculous. And I've read parts of it. You know, nobody's going to read 2,400 pages. I'm simply not that interested. And I'll agree, our healthcare system is in serious trouble. But this can't be the way. I mean, it started out to be, you know, we're going to cut everybody's expenses, make sure everybody's got insurance, all laudable goals, all wonderful things. So they passed this giant government budget that nobody read. 2,400 pages, and it turned out, according to the Congressional Budget Office, that it's going to cost at least twice what they thought it was, and it's going to give us at least half of what it was promised to give us. Now, folks, something's wrong with this. They didn't talk to anybody. Now, let me put another point about this thing. They passed this thing in the flash of an eye almost immediately after Obama's election, President Obama's election, pardon me. Nobody has time to write a 2,400-page bill in a matter of weeks. They simply don't. This thing had been in the works for a generation, I promise you. And that's one of the problems. Nobody read it. Nobody knows what it is. I'll never forget hearing Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, says, we got to pass it so we'll understand it. And we understand it now, don't we? We understand that it is not going to give us what we want. It made the government a lot larger, give it a lot more power. And simply that is a direct violation of what the forefathers had in mind when they built this great republic. Okay? And understand, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take this back. We need to actually step up. Now, there's only one way to do it. There's only one way. We have to elect people that are going to work with common sense. It would be a wonderful thing, after all, if we had no parties at all. It really would. It'd be a great thing. Everybody just go up there, do what your constituents want us to do, and yay, let's all march down the wonderful government avenue. It doesn't work that way. Our government's adversarial for a reason. It was created that way. It was created to foster healthy debate and foster multiple points of view. It has to be that way, and it has to be focused. If we had 435 different opinions in Congress, we'd have 435 things that didn't get done. So we organized it into a party system, and it's supposed to be that way. The only problem is that they are so busy arguing with one another about who's right that nothing gets done. Nothing at all gets done. The only way we can fix that, and I'll tell you, the Tea Party movement actually had a good start on that, is put people in there that are going to listen to the people that hired them. You know, the funny thing about government, and I've heard this from several people I know who have served in public office, is that when you're a newbie, when you first come in there, they say, you know, you do things my way, and I'll put you on my committee. I'll make you famous. I'll make you rich. I'll get your name out in a local paper if you do things my way. So the freshmen are more or less forced to take the views of those that were there before them. And if they don't, so much for your political career. You can spend the rest of your wonderful political career, monitoring sewage usage in Montana. Now, that, unfortunately, is the way Washington worked. Now, we have gotten some Tea Partiers up in there, and I'm not saying I agree with them one way or another. I do agree that they have a lot of points. We need to get back a hold of the government. And we've got some guys in there that are actually doing their job. Now, I'm going to say something. You can start writing letters. The occupiers are the same way. The original occupiers who actually had a message went forward. They were correct. They said, listen, we've got to control Wall Street. Wall Street is putting us all out of business. And they're right. Wall Street is getting out of hand. Now, I'm not advocating the downfall of Wall Street, ladies and gentlemen. We just can't because we need it. It is what makes us the most powerful country in the world. It makes our money flow. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not having money that makes you rich. It's moving that money around that makes you rich, I promise. And that's exactly what we need to do with this economy. If we actually start making a difference, some of this money on the sideline will start moving around again, and it'll start making jobs. And ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, war on the rich, as done by the, we need to raise taxes on everybody. We need to, rich people need to pay a lot more in taxes. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm one of the people who say everybody should pay the same tax. We're all the same people. The reason you're rich, for most of them, is that they earned it. They deserve to keep some of it. Now, even if they just pay 10%, 10% for them, it's 10%. They pay $20 million. I pay $2,000. It's still 10%. That's the only fair way to go, although it's not that way. And I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, here's the problem with that. You start pushing the rich, and the economy goes down. You start taking their money out of circulation, and our jobs go with it. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I have never had a job from a poor man. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take another break this time. Please stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after these messages.